What up, folks? Happy New Year, 2017. Look, I know you said, what happened to the October show? What happened to the December show? What happened to the November show?
The Grim Reaper got us, though.
Yeah, man. GR just came through with the big cleaver, and he cleaved our podcast. So we actually recorded 4 shows, and they just never got... No, I'm lying. We didn't do that shit.
Damn. We almost got them.
Almost. But check it out. You're listening to Get Out of the Room. This is a horror and pop culture podcast. I am your host, Day, and as always, I got my man Scott with me. What's going on, bro?
Not much. Not much, man. I every single time I always say, man, it's been a while. I feel like you could put a super cut of me saying all of those. It's been a while. Man, it feels like forever since I said. I mean, it really has been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time this time. Yeah. Been super long time this time. It's probably been the longest break since I had a kid.
Well, I mean, not only that, but I think that it affected my horror watching of new movies too, having not recorded.
Yeah. Which is really strange because 2016 has been a pretty strong year for horror. And a year where, you know, a lot of people just didn't feel like, you know, horror was worth a lot of their time or their money. 16 came back very, very strongly. But yeah, before we get into that, we'll let you know who we are. We Get Out the Room podcast. You can find Get Out the Room, getouttheroom.podomatic.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher Radio. At some point in the near future, I will actually get us on the Google podcast network, all that kind of stuff. I'm not even sure Wicked Radio Network is still alive, but if they are, great, because, you know, they were the first people to really fool with us, so we always got love for them. But also, you know, the Synopoly, you know, people who like showing out for, you know, people of color and those of us who don't want to get lost in the big shuffle, so we shout out to them too. But check it out. We are going to do a really Get Out the Room-esque review of 2016 for all of these films. Like I said, it was a big year. There's some sequels in here. There's some originals. There's been a return to form for different types of genre. So we're just going to jump into it. These are the Get Out the Room return of the best. And we'll even talk about some of the ones that we thought were flat-out doo-doo. And I think we're going to start it off with what I was probably the first, I think the first horror film we all saw this year, and that's The Witch. Scott, what was your first thought when you got out of The Witch?
I couldn't stop thinking about that opening scene when you actually find out what happened to the baby.
Oh.
That was,
yeah.
It stuck. It stuck with me because that's, I mean, I remember when you and I caught that, we caught that premiere of, Profane Exhibit. We watched that short where,
yeah,
they were turning people into werewolves.
Yeah.
And they were tossing like babies into a fire pit.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff is just, uncomfortable to watch, and that witch was, you didn't exactly see it, but you knew exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
And
yep.
I had to, like, I remember after the movie, I'm sitting in my car and I was looking up to see, you know, I was just kind of reading up on a movie. You know, if I really like a movie after I watch it, I'll read up on it, like, as I'm, like, you know, walking out to my car or whatnot. And I was reading up on all of the things that movie did that have to do with witchcraft and just witch lore, and one of which was killing babies and bathing in their fat and their flesh.
Yeah.
To make themselves, like, make a witch look younger. They would kill children and babies, and then like bathe in their blood and their flesh in order to kind of help them live longer and look better.
And yeah, live forever.
Yeah, and I didn't know that until, you know, I'm reading up on this right after that movie, and it just it stuck with me. I mean, that's probably the most memorable scene. We were talking moments today, and I think that right there could easily be one of the scariest moments in the past.
Yeah, it is. That, yeah, I mean, especially when you kind of extrapolate out all the things that go into making that scene, it's so damn creepy, and what it meant for the entire way the film is set up, that's fucked up, man.
It really is. Well, it's reflecting really on the year as a whole, I think Anna Taylor-Joy might be one of, if not my favorite actress of any movie all year.
Yeah, yeah.
She's really good.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where she has to hold the entire film together, even with really, really strong performances by the father in that film and, you know, the other people. She holds the entire film together.
Absolutely. And so it's that scene in particular, but also the lead actress is very, very good. And I think I said it at the time, it's a movie that, you know, it sticks with you. It's effective in what it was trying to do. Maybe not one that you rewatch a lot, though.
But I don't know. Apparently, the extended cut, man, is even creepier.
Wait, hold on. There's an extended cut?
Yeah, apparently there's like an extra couple 10 minutes or something. I don't know.
Oh, and I just remembered that when you first hear what was the ghost name?
Oh, Black Phillip.
Black Phillip. When you first hear him talk, too, that's really creepy as well.
Look, when Black Phillip basically turns into the devil, and, you know, Thomason has to make her choice.
Yep.
I was in the theater, man. I was legitimately creeped out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I told the story about the dude that was in the theater with me. He was not okay. You know, there was a couple people in there with me. You know, it wasn't as bad as the dude that was in the theater with me for The Conjuring, but, you know, the witch was just, you know, really, really tough. Yeah. It was a tough-ass watch.
It's good that a movie like that can get a release, like a wide release.
Which
is great.
It has to be exceptional. Like, it's exceptionally well-paced.
And that's it. And it's not a movie that would normally get a wide release, but I think it was a good move to do that. Because we need to see more movies like that, because it was very well made. Yeah, it's creepy. Yeah, it's fucked up. But I walk out of that. I mean, I remember that movie from, you know, when I watched it. I mean, I remember how I felt afterwards. I remember, you know, and it's just, it's very, very effective.
I made the mistake of doing a double feature. I believe that was the, was that the one I did? The Witch and Civil War in the same night.
Oh, yeah?
No. Because Witch came on much earlier in the year. I did something else. I did Green Room and Civil War in the same night.
That's a good one to be punched there.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. But the Witch was just, you know, the feeling of just depression and defeat that you leave that film with, man. Good God.
Right.
So... yeah, The Witch was a really, really good film, and for horror and for a main character, I think it would hold its weight in any year, let alone a year as strong as 2016. So next, I want to move right into your favorite film of the entire year, Green Room.
Favorite horror film. Yes,
I
really. I mean, that's another movie that I really enjoyed. It's another movie that stuck with me. It's got some great performances by the late Anton Yelchin. Patrick Stewart is very, very creepy as the lead villain. It's a good, simple movie. You know, if you think too hard about it, you can pick it apart. That's kind of a lot of people nitpick with it, but you can do that with every single movie that's ever existed. So I try not to let that bother me too much. I mean, I remember, you know, speaking of scary moments, was when Yelchin pulled in his gnarled up arm from the
oh man,
floor.
When he pulled back damn near a nub. I mean, he went out there to go hard, and that motherfucker just
hanging.
Shit was, oh.
It just sort of looked like they took like a razor wire and wrapped it around his arm and just squeezed.
And went back and forth like three or four different places.
Yeah. But I mean, not only that, there were, you know, the Nazi guys were so effective as scary movie villains. I mean, they're using machete and pit bull and shotgun and just generally being racist pieces of shit to threaten these people in the back room. And it's very effective. It's scary. It was tense. Everything about the movie just worked. And
yeah. But they're bad guys even before, you know, they start killing motherfuckers. Like, they're shitty people.
Oh, and you can see that during when the band is up there playing, and that, you know, tension starts there, and it's just, and even Patrick Stewart, you know, that's the kind of movie that you get a guy like that. And maybe he's not in the movie a lot, but he was in it a good amount. I mean, he was there and in it for the long haul, and that's good.
You got to do like Patrick Stewart to commit.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he committed. You know, nobody wanted to see Jean-Luc Picard come out here and drop the M-bomb, but
no. You know, Professor X didn't teach the X-Men that shit.
Right. You know, I mean, that wasn't part of the motherfucking, you know, Charles Xavier School for the Gifted. That was some different shit.
Yeah.
But hey. Scott. E-R, yeah. Not A, Scott. E-R, no, I'm just kidding. but, yeah, man. You know, there were some real legitimate moments in fucking Green Room that were just hard as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Shotguns to the face. And shotgun, every other time.
A jump scare shotgun to the face.
Right. Just out of nowhere. Just blow.
Dogs feasting on faces, and it was, that's some real shit.
Yeah. Love the dogs. Real fan of the dogs. It's not a particularly easy watch, though. I'll be very honest with you about that. Especially upon repeated viewings, it's kind of a tough sell. Not because it's not enjoyable. But it's just tough.
But I would actually say it's more watchable, it's more rewatchable than Wit.
It's probably less depressing.
It is less depressing. You're right. Maybe that's why it's more rewatchable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you sit down with a witch, man, You're gonna feel that for a little while. That's a film that sticks with you.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a meaty, meaty film. You know, I feel like, you know, watching Green Room, relatively quick and easy. You're just like, yeah, I can watch that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we can make that work.
Right.
You know,
and I remember when I first heard of Green Room, that was one that I was kind of, It kind of had a big, not a big, I mean, it had its own little following online. There were a lot of really cool pieces of art that were coming from people who really were looking forward to that movie. And it had kind of an indie comic book feel to it. And, you know, that's another thing, what I really liked about it. It was like something that could be like a good graphic novel.
Yeah, I was wondering where your initial kind of love for the film came from, and all of that makes a ton of sense now.
Yeah, I mean it does. It reminds me of some indie horror stuff that I've read, and it's just it's got that look, that feel. It's kind of a, you know, comic booky in a way, and I enjoy that because of it. So.
Yeah,
and now that we're oversaturated with comic book movies, it's kind of hard to miss the, you know, some of the the mirrors there.
Yeah, yeah, no, I feel you. I understand. It's a good film. You know, obviously the spirit animal, Anton Yelchin, passed away directly afterwards, and it's a great one to leave on.
Yep.
Really good cast, really, really good film, too. Just...
Agreed.
Good film. It's fun. It's much more fun than some of the other films on here.
Yeah.
So another film that people really, really liked, and this is one that I think I was the only one who saw, it was The Shallows this year. You didn't see The Shallows.
Not.
People are basically calling it the best horror shark movie since Jaws. And when I first watched it, I didn't feel that way. I felt like it was an opportunity for Blake Lively to try and carry a film, and I didn't feel like she did that damn well with it. But I kind of took a step back, and, you know, there were some tense moments. They had some real clever moments. You know, the ending is ridiculous, but what ending of a horror movie isn't? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I shouldn't really hold that against it. But the reality of it is, you know, the film worked. For what it worked. And it was cool.
Now, have you ever seen the movie Rogue? It's a, it was made by Greg McLean, who did Wolf Creek. I think it was the movie just before Wolf Creek, actually. But anyway, Rogue is about a giant killer crocodile. Now, I know you hear that and you go, Jesus, you know, that's probably terrible. And I understand. I thought the same thing. But it's actually, the reason I bring that up is I've heard that The Shallows, one of the best things about this movie was that the shark looked really good.
Yeah, no, it did. The shark looked awesome.
And so in Rogue, the reason I bring that up is I've seen Rogue, and I would tell you I recommend it because the crocodile in that movie looks extremely well made. It's very, very good CGI, and it sells the movie. Now, usually when you have a big CGI killer animal, the movie tends not to be very good because the CGI is not, it doesn't sell you on it.
It's yeah, it takes you out of the film.
Fish. You know, like you think giant killer crocodile, you think like Plastic Betty White. But Rogue is, it's an Australian movie, very cool flick. I recommend it. The Shallows is one of those movies I gotta check out. I've been meaning to check it out. I just haven't gotten the opportunity.
Yeah, it's a good film. I would recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it.
High praise to say the best shark movie since Jaws. That's pretty high praise.
I wouldn't recommend it as highly as some people do. Like, you know, it wouldn't be as high as some people have it as their favorite movie of the year. Like, slow up.
Yeah.
let's not go crazy now.
Wait, but favorite movie period or favorite horror movie?
Horror movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it was going to do that.
I mean, I haven't even seen it, and that's hard to believe.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, people love The Shallows. You know, I get it. A film that you did not see that I also saw was Lights Out.
Yep.
A lot of people like Lights Out. They likened it to kind of the year before's It Follows, where, you know, there were some legitimately scary movie moments where people were doing some legitimately not stupid things. These are things that make sense. These are plans where these people want it to live. Because usually in horror films, when people make plans and do shit, they don't make plans to live. So, they had, this was a really good short. Just one of the best short films you'll ever see.
Absolutely. You know,
3 minutes, intensely scary, encapsulates every aspect of horror and fear that you've pretty much ever had about the dark, being alone in a crib. So, to see this one come to fruition and go the way it did, you're just like, yes. Yes, yes, yes. The film itself is not nearly as good as a short, and it'd be incredibly difficult to keep the ratcheted amount of fear up that they managed to get.
Well, a lot of shorts a lot of shorts work because they're short.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
It's good to get a blast of horror. It's good to get a blast of it.
And yeah.
Lights Out is that. I mean, we had talked before, you know, one of the things I think that I kept Lights Out at arm's distance is Mama was a good short too, but it did not translate well as a movie. And, you know, and I think I judged Lights Out too much on that, you know, scale.
I mean, we talked about this. It's really difficult to judge films on that scale. It's just hard.
It's unfair.
Like, there's just almost no way you'll be able to keep that level up. It just doesn't work.
Right.
You know, so you just kind of have to take it for what it is and enjoy what you get out of it. Lights Out's a good film. You know, it's also another one of those utterly ridiculous films that you just kind of go with, and, you know, if you're there for it, you like it.
Sure.
You know, I know Tom was real big on this one, too. So, I was happy with it. It doesn't reinvent the genre in any way, shape, or form. It's just handled really, really well. So,
okay.
You know, in part of what I think new horror that people are starting to find out and understand is that you don't necessarily have to have the next Blair Witch, or you don't have to have the next Scream, or anything like that. But what you do have to do is do what you set out to do and execute it well. You have to have competent, talented directors, actors, cinematographers, and everyone who's involved. Shit Sure. don't have to cost a ton of money, but you got to be competent in what you're doing. And
that's,
I feel
yeah,
like...
Good.
Go ahead.
Well, I agree. I think that... you know, it's okay if you want to go in the direction and come up with the next Scream or whatever it is, because it's about more than just the idea. You know, Lights Out started with that short, and that's a great idea. It was a cool short. It's one of those things that a studio sees and says, we can make this into a really cool movie. And a horror fan hears that and goes, great, we're going to get a churned out, spit out horror movie that a studio is telling us is scary. But
yep.
If you surround it with good filmmakers, everybody from the director, the writer, everybody you just named, and you can get something that's recalled. And sometimes, if you're lucky, you can get a franchise out of it.
Yeah.
Which is a good transition for The Purge, which is a good franchise. It's a good idea for a franchise.
You know, The Purge is a franchise that, you know, I mean, we've exhausted almost every aspect of conversation when it comes to The Purge.
Yeah.
But and
the first movie this year was one that continued. It was more of two than one, which was a good thing. I don't think it was as good as Anarchy, but it was still an enjoyable movie.
Yeah. And this is a personal thing. It's always very difficult for me to watch a film that's supposedly set in DC.
Yeah.
When I know for a fact that, hey, that's not DC at all. What are you doing? Like that. Yeah. That's always difficult for me.
When the movie came out, so
yeah,
it wasn't because of where it was taking place.
Yeah, that's just a thing for me. But I do understand that some people don't care about that. But it's the Purge, this Purge, I should say, has Elizabeth Mitchell, whom, you know, I like a lot. She did her thing. Grillo's always going to do his thing. There was a census black death in this film, so it must be downgraded for that. But
horror doesn't lose those... They're stereotypes, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, they're stereotypes for a reason. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, be realistic about that shit. You know, if you got a horror movie, there's going to be a black dude that dies.
Yeah.
And also playing the magical Negro. Let me fuck around and sacrifice myself so these good white folks can live. But
it's funny because it's true.
Right. Right. But I'm okay with that. In this film, anyway. Shit is okay. So, I don't want to spend too much time on this because, again, we've
exhausted. We've talked about what we want to see from The Purge, what we want to, which, by the way, you know, they're doing a TV show, they're doing a prequel, they're doing all kinds of.
The prequel is really the only place they go at this point, and I'm cool with that.
I'm not mad. I mean, why not? I like the idea quite a bit, so.
Yeah, I like the prequel aspect of it. I'll take it. I'm cool with it. I'm good with it. You know, let's move forward. But what I'll also do is, I think we have an opportunity to be a little bit more discerning in how we view and take The Purge moving forward. We don't just have to say, oh, it's cool, it's in the Purge world. Like, the fourth time out, shit gotta be right. So, I'd really like to see this prequel turn out well. So next May or June, let's hope they have some kind of exciting for us. Alright. Another one that was a franchise and that could be either giving us new horror icons or possibly just pushing the money train along was The Conjuring Part 2.
Yep. It's, I don't know. This is another movie I feel like we've talked a lot about, Conjuring. I like the first one.
You didn't like it as much as all of us, though.
No, I didn't, because this type of horror movie is one that I'm just not a huge fan of. The haunted house, paranormal shit is just one to me that's been, I mean, we get them every single year, and to me they run together. Even the good ones do, unfortunately.
And yeah, I think that's unfortunate, especially as well as, you know, this movie is done. The camera work here, the scenes, the way they're set, I just feel like this film is, it's just executed in a way and on a level that most of these types of ghost films just aren't.
Correct. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can't disagree with that. It's just, when I think of The Conjuring, I think of things from other lesser movies as well. You know, I mean, what I remember from The Conjuring is, you know, the lead actors. And
I don't think anybody would argue with that. That Ed, right, and Lorraine Warren and Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga aren't the star of the show.
Sure.
But James Wan is probably a really close third, though, to those two.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, James Wan, I mean, I know him falling, of course, for the first Saw, which is really how, you know, when I think James Wan, I think Saw, and I think a lot of people now think more Conjuring and Insidious, and that's fine. You know, they're good, serviceable horror movies that are very well made, very well done. It just shows his talent as a director and how much he's grown as a filmmaker. And it's just about personal preference, really.
Yeah. I just feel like dude is so effing talented in setting and keeping it, you know, just like really tense scenes and camera movements and the way that shit is done. I just feel like aside from the way I enjoyed the film, although it was probably a little overlong, like let's cut 15, 20 minutes out of there, maybe even 30, but I felt like it was still a master at work in terms of his craft, camera angles, the way scenes are set, and the whole deal. So, Conjuring 2 is always going to get do well for me.
Sure.
Next up, let's go into 10 Cloverfield Lane. I think.
Oh yeah.
You know, you like this one more than I did.
I did. That's that. There's another good movie where the, I mean, it benefited from really strong acting. I think John Goodman gave one of the better performances of the year in any
Absolutely.
Movie.
Absolutely. I agree.
He was fantastic. And, what's her name? Mary Elizabeth Winstead. She did a really good job as well. And the movie it's kind of two movies in one. The first movie is one that's very claustrophobic. It's very creepy.
Hell yeah.
You don't really know what to expect in such a small setting. And then it becomes something different when you walk outside and realize, wow, we're still messing with these fucked up looking alien creatures.
And
it's become something very, very different, but also enjoyable. I remember there's a line in the movie that Winstead's character says, I think she makes a comment, something to the effect of, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
That's exactly the thought that runs through my head when I first saw that, like, wait a minute, what? If you didn't know that was to happen, you would completely be there with her. I mean, I knew that we were getting Cloverfield, something Cloverfield-ish, so it wasn't as much that, but it was the perfect explanation for that movie.
Yeah.
And I think actually we're getting another spin-off type movie set in the Cloverfield universe.
They're all set in the universe. They're loosely linked. I don't think we'll ever see any actual crossover, but
No.
And I'm okay with that.
I'm very cool with that. I mean, I liked Cloverfield, and Cloverfield Lane was also very enjoyable.
So,
sci-fi horror is what we like here on the podcast. We've said that since the beginning with Alien and The Thing and. This, I mean, I know that Temple of Your Lane is not near as good as those movies, but it's a similar type of movie.
Yeah, and so everyone knew my beef with this going in was I had the script for a couple of years before we got it, when it was another film entirely, which was really just the first part of this film. You know, and imagine if the entire part of this film was just the first part. I felt like it would have just been an incredible fucking film. Because I felt like the Cloverfield part was a letdown.
So let me ask you, based on the original script,
was
the world ending outside, or was it just fake?
It was different, but yeah, there was still shit happening. It was a farm outside of Chicago. She gets out. She's driving to Chicago, and she sees, like, the cityscape burnt out, blown up. That's kind of the end of it. But
okay, so you don't know exactly what happened.
Correct. You don't really get... There's a lot of ambiguity to it.
Gotcha.
Also, what I really liked about it. There was a lot of ambiguity.
Yeah, I like that. Okay.
And...
it's also an easy movie to tie into a franchise.
Sure. Because, you figure you do, 2 weeks of reshoots that you don't really have to touch too much on the front end.
You've got a movie that makes a lot more money than if it didn't.
Correct. You have a film that you don't even know how to market on the front end, but, you throw the Cloverfield on it. And especially if you know that you have these incredible performances in the can. Because when you start to pick this one apart, that shit don't make no sense when you try and tie it to Cloverfield. On its own merits, I get it, I can understand that part. But when you start to try and tie it to what you know is the shit outside, that shit don't make no sense.
Right. You're right.
So, again, I'm cool with it. I enjoyed it. The Cloverfield aspect of it just brought it down for me. So.
Okay. Well, I get it. I mean, I haven't heard that. I understand.
I know I'm also kind of in the minority when it comes to that. So, which is all right.
Hey, keep that on, man. Yeah. I'm still standing by that one of the most overrated horror movies of the past 5 years as the Babadook.
Yeah, I really like the Babadook still, man.
Ugh. It's just a personal preference. That's what it is.
Yeah, and it also falls into a territory that you don't like.
Correct.
So, we know where that goes.
Right.
The next thing we wanted to talk about was a very, like, it's a film that has recently gained a lot of steam, especially because it got picked up on Netflix. It was the I Am Not a Serial Killer.
Yep.
This was a film that I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
I loved
it. It's one I've liked more since having left it.
Okay.
And I think I still gave it a pretty good review, but I said at the time, it still reminds me a lot of the Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson, and which came out last year, the year before. And another movie with really great performances and just an understated feeling of creepiness.
Christopher Lloyd, man, he just did a fucking incredible job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Christopher Lloyd was, you know, if we're talking about career renaissance, you know, this could definitely be that for him. If that's, you know, what we want to do. Who knows? Like, dude was just really fucking good. And Max Records as kind of the main protagonist, he was great.
Yep.
It, just a really, really good film. Just not at all something that you'd expect. You just wouldn't expect this type of film. It gives you something so different, so out of the box, so quickly, that it just throws you on your head for the rest of the film. You're like, holy shit, this is where we're going? So, I'm super, real high on I Am Not a Serial Killer.
Yeah, great flick.
Alright.
Well, I mean, speaking of franchises, we could do another movie that came out this year that we had kind of mixed feelings on, I think, when we talked about it, was Blair Witch.
Yeah. Yep.
I remember my knee-jerk reaction was that I absolutely loved it. And I was surprised that I had loved it so much. And, you know, I started getting real picky with it, especially after hearing my fellow members of Get Out the Room were not very pleased with the movie, so... but it's, you know, it's one that I remember the parts I really enjoyed as the things that I recall and enjoy the most of it. But I think I'm in the minority feeling that way in that movie. I think a lot of people were unhappy with that.
Yeah. Another unnecessary black man death.
Yes. True.
Wasn't a good year for black folks in horror, man. Motherfuckers taking L's all over the place. But, you know, there's a... The witch itself makes an appearance in a way that was very cool, that I enjoyed. I don't think a lot of other people enjoyed it, though. I think they like the mystery behind the Blair Witch. I actually liked seeing it kind of for the first time. And one of the
I love that. That was awesome.
Okay, all right. That makes me feel better. For a while, I thought I was alone in that shit. So.
No. That to me, the piece I remember the best is when they're at the end and she can't turn around, and yet you get only glimpses kind of the long, creepy Daddy Long Legs witch.
Yeah.
And that's really cool to me. I really like that part of the movie because I feel like they hinted at it, which is great, and I really like the ominous stomping in the forest around the shaky cam. I thought that was pretty effective, at least in my opinion.
And the damn sounds that shit was making. Oh.
Right. And then when you finally got to see it, it goes, oh, well, that makes sense. That look at the thing. And
yeah. Yeah, it looks just like the sticks.
right. I don't know. I thought it was a lot more effective than a lot of other people did, ultimately, you know, as a whole. But that in particular, the ending was very enjoyable.
I wouldn't have gone that far, but, you know, hey. this is one that we were all kind of different on.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it is. I mean, I'm not. It's by no means the best horror movie of the year, but yeah. You know, I mean, I liked other movies a lot better, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, it felt like it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, another enjoyable film that was that a lot of people liked, and it was a film that that got a lot of buzz, and it's called Don't Breathe, and it's just one of those films that I'm not sure if horror film folks felt as strongly about it as non-horror film folks, because all my horror folks didn't love it that much, but all the people who don't really like horror films love Don't Breathe.
There's a good word of mouth about that movie.
It's got
good word of mouth about it, based on, you know, a lot of year end lists are popping up now, and it's one of those movies that is being called underrated, and I have not seen it much to my, you know, I wish that I could say I saw it. It's one of those movies that has eluded me a little bit.
Yeah, he fucking up, y'all. Okay.
No, you're right. That's a movie I should have seen. So
yeah, that may also turn into a franchise, by the way. But yeah. You know, Fede Alves.
Oh, is Alvarez. He the dude that made Evil Dead, the remake?
Yeah. Sam Raimi, you know that. Got and there's feelings, like you'll get some similar feelings in that. Jane Levy from Suburgatory fame and also the Evil Dead remake is also in this as well. She carries the majority of the film.
I did hear about a turkey baster scene, though.
Yeah, man. Don't ever. Don't you ever ask about that shit. Lord Jesus. So, yeah, the thing about Don't Breathe, I don't know, man. I felt like there was some really masterful, great camera work in some parts, and I felt like it was some bullshit that happened. It's like, come on, come the fuck on. You know, I don't know. It's a good film. It's a good film. I just didn't love it like everybody else did.
Right.
So, yeah. Jane Levy, Stephen Lang, who should probably be Cable. And
he really, dude. I'm glad you said. I was just thinking that, like, that motherfucker is Cable.
Right.
I mean,
physically,
damn.
And you know, but can he act?
Well, the problem is most of the guys they keep naming for Cable. None of them, you know, like they go like, you know, Dolph Lundgren, he would be a good Cable. I'm like, I don't know if I want to see Dolph Lundgren be Cable.
Dolph Lundgren can't act anymore. He never could
Correct.
Act. So, Correct. I mean, we're not even going to explore
could
that.
Be Cable, like, looks-wise, he could be Cable.
Man, dude's 100 now. Like, let's not even explore that. Let's not and say we did. Another film I wanted to talk about really quickly is a movie called The Monster. And this movie, although not everybody has loved the actual film, what they have loved, though, is the performance of the main character. It is a film about a mother and a daughter who basically have to fight a monster after their car breaks down on a deserted road. I mean, it's in the title, The Monster.
I've never even heard of this game.
Yeah, it's been making rounds, and I think it's on like Netflix and Amazon, but okay. It may just be Amazon. But the thing that's happening is people are noticing Zoe Kazan's performance in this film, particularly because as the main character of the mother, is not a likable mother. She's not a likable character. She's not someone that you root for in any sense of the word. This is not a character that you could normally just jump in and say, you know what, I fool with her, I fuck with her. That's just not who this particular character is. So to have this film go off and have her, you know, kind of come along and make you a fan, she's putting in a lot of work here. So,
right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Big shout out there.
Right.
There is a film that I really liked. I don't know if you ever got a chance to see it. The Korean film Train to Busan.
I have not. That's another one that's like Don't Breathe. I have not had a chance to see that yet.
Really, really cool film. Zombie film, but just done differently. Done well. You know, I think anyone who sees this film will enjoy it. You know, it got a little overly dramatic or even melodramatic at the end, but I loved it. I like this show a lot. Obviously, I like a lot of the Asian horror styles, Korean, and even the J-horror, you know, which is based on the Ju-ons and things of that nature, which don't really run with a lot of the American kind of ghost tales. So I liked that. I liked that a lot. And, yeah. Let's see. What else is left here?
I was going to say, the most recent one that I've seen is Siren.
Yep.
Good.
Talk about it.
Well, you know, so Siren was one that really appealed to me. So I'm a big VHS fan, so when I heard that they were going to do a spinoff about one of my favorite shorts from the first VHS, the one with the I Like You, That Girl, and they were going to give her own movie.
Yeah, it was Amateur Night.
Yes, Amateur Night. And made by David Bruckner.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of excited to hear that. I really liked that short quite a bit. I liked the character. I liked that it was scary and memorable. And it was kind of brutal as well. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of movies that are brutal can be enjoyable because it's not necessarily the gore and the blood. It's just the brutality that you remember. That's what makes it kind of intense. It makes it kind of just, you know, it makes it rewatchable in a way without, you know, enjoying the over-soaked blood and gore. And that movie kind of, that short had that. So Siren, you know, I hear about this movie, follow it a little bit, see the first trailer, which I thought looked pretty good. Finally got a chance to see it probably a couple weeks ago. And I thought it was okay. There are certain things about the movie that I absolutely love. They expanded a lot on just how big and widespread different types of characters like this Batgirl could be. And what I mean by that is, so she has a lot more going on than what you saw in the short.
Yeah.
And some of that is, some of it works. I didn't mind the tail, but I wasn't as big on the singing part of it. I mean, I get it. That's the whole, it's a siren. But it was kind of, I don't know. I think maybe that was a little bit too far. Some of the effects on her were mixed as well. Some of the shots looked great. Others looked really, really, really bad. And
well, she's scary as fuck.
Absolutely she is. And they kept the look of her split forehead down her nose.
Oh.
They kept that, the teeth, they kept her talon feet, the wings that could suddenly sprout out. Like I said, I didn't mind the tail. Her climbing on the walls like Spider-Man and shit. They kept a lot of that intact and
yeah.
I enjoyed that. But it's some of the scenes, and I know you know what I'm talking about, when they, you know, like, there was one scene where a character's watching her take somebody out the window, and it just looks like a really bad made-for-TV movie shot, and it's just obviously fake, whereas other parts looked really, really creepy and really real. It was just a really weird, you know, sometimes you're in it, and sometimes I think I actually laughed out loud at some of how silly some of the movie was, which is kind of unfortunate because other parts of the movie I was genuinely scared.
When the wide angles happen, it takes you right out of the film.
It really does, and that's unfortunate because the movie also presents some really cool ideas that also were kind of half and half. Like, for example, the black girl with the blue wig.
Yeah.
She was an interesting character, especially when the big reveal of her happens. about who and what she is.
Yep.
And I'm kind of like, well, now, so this guy is a collector of, like, mutants or something?
Right.
Because she's pretty interesting, but it's also kind of silly as well. I mean, when you first see it, it's you got to wrap your head around it a little bit, but it's a good idea. And I like that there is another character like the Batgirl, but very, very different. So I like that they kind of expanded the universe, but not quite. But again, it had the sometimes really cool and scary, other times, what the fuck am I watching type shit.
Yeah.
And I got that a lot while watching this. I mean, like I said, some of the acting's not, you know, the acting's not very good overall. But some of the acting is, you know, like the main dude with the glasses and hat, which, by the way, has he been in something else?
I don't know. I feel like he has. I mean,
I could have sworn he looked familiar enough to be in something else.
Yeah, I felt like it was probably a B or...
Oh, it's absolutely a B movie of some sort.
Not a real legitimate film.
It'd have been a B movie that he'd have been in. But he had a familiar look to him. Maybe it was just the type of character he was playing.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely played kind of the very familiar kind of B horror film dude.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, but his fate and the way that film ends, just absolutely, oh, oh.
Yep.
But, you know, hey.
Well,
what can I
say? You know, I don't know. I now that I'm thinking about it, there are parts of it and some of the ideas they present are really, really good, you know, and. That those are the parts I walked away from. I liked it more than I hated it, but I can't forget about, you know, some of the guys, the young male actors, they none of them were very good at all.
Yeah, no. But the thing is, I don't necessarily know if they were even set up to be good. You know, they're kind of fodder for the siren.
Yeah, yes, I agree, but at the same time, you could have gotten guys a little better. I don't know.
Yeah.
It had a very cheap feeling with some of the choices they made.
Yeah.
But you know the ideas were there. Like when, for example, the idea of stealing memories and then giving them to other people is fantastic. That's a great idea.
That's an incredible concept, but execution-wise, it didn't really come through.
Well, yes and no. And this ties back to this character with the blue wig.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good idea, especially on paper. I mean, if you had told me it, I'd go, yes, that sounds fantastic. And then when you see it, it doesn't quite work as well as you think it should.
Right.
And that's kind of the problem. But I love
especially when you've kind of told yourself that this is who this person is. You know, obviously they do it for the reveal's sake, and you're okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately you are. I mean, you buy it more because you're watching a movie called Siren about a bad girl that sings, and you know what I mean. And
yeah,
I do like the general creepiness of the club those guys went into. I liked you know, the overall setting was pretty cool. I liked the setup. But a lot of the execution just couldn't quite pull it together.
This is what I'll say. This is why I give credit to the way that the club was set up and the set design there. It made me immediately feel like it was a place I didn't want to spend any time in.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
Yep. You know what I mean? Like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, no. I want nothing to do with this at all.
Right.
So, I think and maybe that's just my personal aversion to shit like that.
Right.
So, you know.
But I guess what I mean, I know what you mean, but I also like the setting because it's very, very horror movie-ish.
It is.
It's reminiscent of, it reminds me, kind of when, and this is a movie I'm not actually a big fan of, but it reminded me kind of Hostel. I think I went to a club in Hostel like that.
Yeah.
And it was just really just underground, dark. It's just a big, creepy setting.
But this is a chicken or the egg thing for me. Those types of fucking places in real life make me want to leave immediately because I've seen a lot of horror films where bad things happen there. So whenever I see them in horror films, I want nothing to do with it. So I'm not sure which one came first. Well, I know which one came first. But I want nothing to do with any of it. I don't want to see it in my media. I like, when my people want to go to the place, I'm like, yo, this isn't going to end well. Like, I, you know, I have fucking completely unrealistic expectations of those sorts of outings. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Siren was one we had been looking forward to. Shit didn't play out as well as we thought it would. Next up, Hush. The Netflix joint, or I saw it on Netflix, I don't know. A blind lady is terrorized by a person trying to get into her crib. Pretty straightforward premise, but done well. Mm. Done well. You know, claustrophobic and, you know, not entirely ridiculous. You know, it's enjoyable. A lot of people liked it, and it went down as one of the year's best for a number of different reasons. I think people hold it in pretty high regard. The actress, who I think is actually deaf, she does a great job, and the villain is also really, really cool.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's Netflix. It's not a super long film. You check it out, and you wouldn't feel bad about it.
Okay.
Stinkers, ones to avoid, ones that we did not give a shit about enough. Like, I don't know.
a lot. I feel like the movies, most of the movies I haven't seen fall into that category, and I lump a lot of movies that maybe I should have seen. And like, Don't Breathe, for example, was a movie that I couldn't tell from the trailer whether or not it was going to be really, really fucking stupid or something that was worth a watch. Because it had that feeling in the trailer of, yeah, it's creepy, I liked it, but at the same time, I bet this is some bullshit.
Yep.
And, you know, like, the first one that comes to mind, because I remember some of the movies that came out this year that I know I didn't see. There was one with Natalie Dormer in it.
The Forest?
The Forest, yes.
Yeah, and that shit, that is a stinking pile of doo-doo-doo.
Well, then there was one with Maggie from Walking Dead.
The Boy, which starts off halfway decent and goes into the shitter really quickly.
So, you know, a lot of that is, you know, these studios kind of put some actresses in it that people recognize, and they drop them right around. You know, like, I think that Force came out right at the end of Game of Thrones. You know, and they're trying to capitalize on that shit. And Lauren Cohen's movie probably came out right around when Walking Dead was on. So they're trying to capitalize on these actresses, you know, being recognizable to casual fans enough to go, hey, you know what, I'm going to go check that out.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like we were talking, you got to make a good movie around it, though.
Yeah, man, like you can't just go off a premise alone. You actually have to create a good film.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think the idea behind The Forest was good. There was, you know, this forest in Japan at the foot of Mount Fuji where people go to die. And you find all your people there. All the people who died in your life, you will find them there.
Right.
It's a weird flick. And it just goes bad. It goes bad, they never get it back.
Right.
So, tis what it is.
Yeah.
We know that's not good. The one that we heard that we should be seeing a lot of and just haven't is Ouija Origin of Evil.
Yeah, how about that?
The original Ouija was not great. I saw it. I did not enjoy it. But for whatever reason, man, Origin of Evil has gotten nothing but great buzz. Yeah, continually.
Yeah, yep. It was one of those... I think it's the movie that, if you go by the Rotten Tomatoes score, which is all it is just a compilation of everybody else's scores. I think it's like around 80%, which for a horror movie is very, very good.
Yeah, for a horror movie, it's fucking astronomical.
So, I'm surprised that it's actually, it's a sequel to a movie that, now I haven't seen it, so I can't comment personally, but it looked like shit. Ouija, the first Ouija, and it's just, that's a gimmick movie. It's one of the movies especially the supernatural scary shit like that I'm not a big fan of anyway. So I kind of stayed away from it, but hearing that this movie is supposed to be good, and the trailer looks a little bit different than the first movie too. Maybe it's worth a look.
I mean, I feel like at some point we're going to have to watch it. It'll
be on Netflix, though, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be. But it graded out far too well for us to ignore it at this point.
Correct.
So, we'll see it at some point. You know, not as if we have been keeping up as well as we should have anyway. So, don't be surprised, kids.
Wah, wah.
Right. You know, find a fucking Price is Right horn. Other things that, you know, not everyone got around to, but people have been talking a lot about this year. There was a number of international films that have been making a lot of noise in the horror community. There's a couple of weird ones. You know, The Wailing, which was another Korean one, I believe, that people liked a lot. That one I saw, it's different than what I think you will find in most films. It's a little long and kind of a slow burn, but when it starts going, it's good. It's a good film. I would definitely, it's one that I would recommend to people. You know, you kind of have to be in a Korean Asian horror, but I think you'd enjoy it.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
There are subtitles though, so, you know, be prepared.
I don't care.
Yeah, like if you don't give a shit, then you're good.
Oh, okay.
So
hey, a good movie is a good movie. It doesn't matter what language you're in.
I agree. This weird film that is black and white takes place, you know, strangely called Eyes of My Mother. You know, been getting a lot of really good buzz. It might be a little bit difficult to watch. I'm not sure. But a lot of people talk about that. And then the Iranian film, I think it's Under the Shadows, I believe it's named. And a lot of people love that as well.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of any of these movies.
Where have you been, brother? Where have you been?
Like I said, man, the past few months I've been out of a horror loop.
Yeah.
Siren's the only movie of the past, really, in the past few months that I've seen whole life.
Yeah, Under the Shadow. It's a Iranian film. Good stuff. Different. I think if you want to find a genre of film that is not like all the others, I think it's a really good place to start.
Hmm.
I think you could do some good there. So I'd be for it. Outside of that, The Love Witch is something that a lot of people have been talking about this year. It's different. I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, I've heard from multiple people that it's interesting and quirky and fun and also still horror. So, get on board for that. Yeah, I think my favorite horror film of the year is probably The Witch. You're sticking with
Green Room.
With Green Room.
Yep, I think I'd go Green Room, and then I'd probably go. I'd probably say Witch next.
Okay.
And then to round out a top three, I'd probably go 10 Cloverfield Lane.
10 Cloverfield Lane. Probably go The Witch. The Witch. And The Witch in number three. I think there was some good horror films, but... You know, I felt like The Witch was probably the only outstanding one to me. And maybe that's unfair. I think there's going to be a lot of people.
Outstanding ones, the only outstanding one to me was Green Room. The Witch was good.
Really?
Cloverfield was good. Green Room is like among my favorite movies, period, of 2016. Whereas The Witch is among them after my first group of favorites. So, I would put Green Room up there with my, with the other movies that I saw this year as being recommended movies just in general that people could check out.
All right. I think we'll save TV talk and, upcoming trailers like The Alien Covenant for next time.
Although, watch it, though, because that shit's tight.
Yeah, definitely watch the trailer. Yeah. Definitely go check out the trailer.
That's one we got to know. Regardless, we're doing an episode for that one.
Yeah, that's probably going to get an old-school solo episode, because, that's about as big as it comes for Get Out the Room, man.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's number one anticipated all types of movies. I mean, I know there's a new Star Wars this year. I know there's a lot of comic book movies, but Aliens, Ops, I'm definitely, definitely looking forward to that.
More so than Episode 8?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hey, yeah. Alien, the Xenomorph is one of the best characters ever.
Yep.
Not just monster, character. It's a nearly perfect creation of horror. It's terrific.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, all good on Alien. I can't wait to see it. The trailer's dope. But we will discuss all of the heretofores and whys and whens next week. I think we've done enough for today, and I think we should get up out of here, man. You want to tell the people where they will not find you if they look for you online?
At Phenom Pyrus, I honestly don't even know the last time I tweeted it. So, if you'd see me tweeting, then, hey, it's like finding gold.
Or, it just means that somebody else has the login.
I think that's actually the last time that I've been on Twitter is to change my password.
There we go. Great.
So, yeah.
Good. You can find me at DA021, and I am generally the person who posts as at Get Out the Room. So, you can find me there talking about horror and all kinds of foolishness in that regard. But, hey, man, we appreciate y'all. Sorry it's been 3.5-4 months.
Yeah.
We don't really have anyone else to blame.
We're shitballs.
Yeah, we're bad for y'all. Like, we cold disrespect the fans. But hey, we still love y'all. We appreciate you. And until next time, we out.
Peace.